Greetings and salutations, my fine podcasting friends. My name is Mike, this is The Odd Pod, and I'm pleased to welcome today's guest. We will be talking with Becca from The Unashamed Alcoholic. Not only does she have a podcast, but she is also a public speaker, has a full-time job, and is now a new puppy mummy. Becca manages to track down some really interesting people who have addiction issues for her podcast. Some of her guests include Mary Walsh, Theo Fleury, and Aaron Davis. We dive into what got Becca into podcasting and how this medium can hopefully assist others. Just a reminder, there may be some content here that is not suitable for all ears. Also, this is an edited podcast. For the full and complete podcast, be sure to check out my Patreon page in the show notes below. Now, without any further interruptions, let's talk with Becca and the Unashamed Alcoholic. Okay. Do you want to give me a quick 20-second plug on your podcast?
Sure. So The Unashamed Alcoholic is really designed to talk openly and honestly about sobriety, addiction, alcoholism, various levels on the spectrum of that. And just have honest conversations about sobriety with people who are sober. And for the most part, they are well-known people who have a platform to share this with their audience and hopefully change some minds and the perception and take away some of those stereotypes around a stigmatized subject.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you're opening up about it because a lot of people still use alcoholism as almost like the butt of a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, you know, it's still up there and people get judged on how much they drink and how often they drink. And if you say no to a drink, like I don't drink,
yeah,
but I do love drugs.
I did too.
Yeah. Especially the party drug. I never.
Got into that. It was really only weed.
Oh, a weed I could live on. I do live on.
I started getting too paranoid with it. The older I got, or the strain, or the combined with drinking, I don't know. Not sure. Just it started having some pretty nasty effects.
I'm paranoid by nature, so I don't even notice the paranoia. But for me, it was how it sucks away my motivation to do anything.
Yes.
You know, like indica, which is a strain. There's indica and sativa. Indica stands for indicouch. And it's just called a couch grab. So you smoke something else and the couch just reaches out to you and pulls you in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I hate because I like doing things. I like being productive. So.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah, I felt that too.
Yeah, and it's like listening to that podcast, like the one you did with Theo Fleury, I listened to, and it was just gripping and engaging, and I loved it, and I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, thanks.
And yeah, he made so many good points.
Yeah.
And one of them was, I forgot where I was going with this, but the same thing about how he found himself just unproductive, I think.
Yeah.
Under the influence, and
yeah,
just really interesting. But I'm going to fire like 5 rapid fire questions here at you, and let's just go with that. Then we'll dive into it a bit deeper here. So
okay.
First off, when you create these podcasts, what mic are you using?
I'm using like basically the most basic Amazon mic you can find, which was a sort of a promoted, purchased one on Amazon. It's a Maono, I think, M-A-O-N-O on Amazon. It was just like, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing when I got into this. And I was just like, sure, click, you know, whatever. Like, just give me something. And it came with the headphones. You see, I'm not wearing headphones today because it don't plug into my laptop. I have a very, very basic setup here.
Well, so sounds okay. But then again, you're not the one doing all the talking, right?
It's no, guess. And it sounds now better now because I figured out how to connect the microphone in by episode, I think, 12. So the episodes sound better now.
Yeah, the secret is that the headphones plug into the microphone.
No, that might make a difference to me. I did not look into that. So.
what are you editing with for your software?
I edit with Audacity. So I found it, again, I'm not sure. I think I just kind of did a search of like what were the top ones that were used, and I found it. And it's fairly, I mean, for someone who has zero background in this or really like the tech side of things, I find it pretty user friendly.
Okay, good. I am a tech guy.
I'm doing basic things with it
too. Gotcha. See, I'm a tech guy and I like the answer. These are why I originally started this podcast, was because of the tech aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Cause I just love all the tech part of it. And who are you hosting with?
I host with Buzzsprout. And so they get me on basically all the platforms. So I'm, you know, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google, like it feeds into all of the main ones, but they also have like their own hosting site too. That's where I link all of my episodes to on my website. They go right to the Buzzsprout page. So I found them for the price you pay and like what I want to do with it. It's really great company. Good platform.
Okay. That's good to know. And are you keeping track of your stats at all?
I do. I fairly obsessively look at them. No, I look at, out of curiosity, I look at the numbers per person per episode, mm-hmm. because for me, what's unique is that it's usually well-known people. So you have, like you mentioned, Theo Fleury, there's Deborah DiGiovanni, Mary Walsh, Elizabeth Vargas, few people from some reality TV shows. So I like to see the difference between them. And then there's my first episode, which was just me talking. It was like 11 minutes. And it was like really, in my mind, probably the weakest one, but it has a lot of listen. So for my podcast, it's dependent a lot on who I'm talking to. I mean, I have people who I think listen to every episode anyway, like my parents, but I think that the audience varies a lot because of who the person is and how they, you know, when they put it out, they tweet it out or they put it on Instagram or whatever, it's their fans who then will go listen. So someone from The Bachelorette, I got thousands of listens for her episode, but in general, it's probably 300 to 500 per episode in general.
Those are fantastic numbers.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
I have no idea, right? Like nothing to compare it to, but I just think more than one person's listening to this. Like, all right, that's great.
So who do you have on the pipe now, like the pipeline that you're bringing in for more interviews now?
Well, I have a few that I've lined up, like a few that I've done that are coming out soon. So I have Chris Herron, who is a mm-hmm. former NBA player, who that was just such a lovely conversation. Ken Seeley, who is an interventionist on A&E's Intervention. Love him. So I've got a few like coming down. People who I think that you might not know and that you maybe you've heard of, or that, you know, I think I'm trying to get it so that even if you haven't heard of them, you want to listen because there's some kind of interesting story there. I didn't know who not everyone was before. Like, I mean, I don't follow basketball, so I didn't know Chris Herron's career. I just saw, you know, when I'm Googling sober well-known celebrities or that sort of stuff, he came up and I thought, well, he's great. Cause he turned a career of that, you know, into now this, like, well, helping other people and whatnot. So I think each episode can bring a little something different, whether you know the person or not.
Yeah. Well, those are some great names. And it sounds like it's got some good names coming down the pipe too. So mm-hmm. now I'm going to get into a bit of the deeper questions here. And I guess going back into your past, what made you wake up one day and realize that you were an alcoholic?
Well, there'd been a number of a few years of me like trying to moderate drinking and wondering if like everyone else had to was doing that. And, you know, I was starting to realize it was like a centerpiece of my life. Like it was, everything was revolving around that. And as I got out of my 20s, it was becoming more and more prominent because, you know, you're not just like partying all the time. Like then I had kids and suddenly, you know, you're supposed to be focusing on them, but this was competing. And it was like, oh, okay, like maybe this isn't how it should be. And I just got so sick of thinking about drinking, thinking about my next drink, when I was going to drink, how much was at home, where can I go get some at lunch? Do you know, it's Wednesday. Like, you know, it was just nonstop chatter. And I wasn't drinking in the morning. I didn't get a DUI. I didn't lose my job. You know, like all these things where you're like, I'm not an alcoholic because of that's never happened. I just thought I can't live like this anymore. And then I stopped drinking in July 2017. And I only started going into like a recovery program in October that year. And that's when I first said I'm an alcoholic. And I only said it in the rooms because you have to, like, you're there. That's what you're supposed to say. And I didn't even believe it then. So, you know, you see, like, it was years of like thinking I'd probably had a problem, stopped drinking a few months later, still not convinced I was an alcoholic. And then over the obviously time, I've gotten quite comfortable with that notion. And, you know, that is what I am.
Well, is that what you are or is that what you were?
Well, I am, because I don't think, you know, someone asked me a few weeks ago, like, what if you're 30 years sober? Are you still an alcoholic? And yes, because it doesn't go away. It's not like there's ever magic. I'm, you know, done. You're clean time. Like, you know, it's gone. It's gone. And if I start thinking that way, it becomes dangerous, because then I think like, oh, well, then it's not a problem anymore. It doesn't become priority of like me managing that in my life, or putting that at like recovery is an important thing in my life. You know, when it starts to become like you're not paying attention anymore to it, or you're not worried even about it anymore, then it's a problem. You know, Mia St. John, the boxer, I just had her on a few weeks ago, and she relapsed after 30 years. 30 years. Like, there's no safe zone. You know, you think like 30 years, like you're fine. No, you're not. Like, you can still wind up drinking again. Like, for me, that's part of the word of the podcast is like the, you know, alcoholic. And I talk, every guest I have, I ask them, what do you call yourself? Do you say you're in recovery? Do you say you're sober? Do you say you're an alcoholic? Do you say you're recovering alcoholic? Some people even say recovered alcoholic. But that's like, again, in the past, as if it's done, right? So that's why I want to just keep it clean. Like, to me, the word, I should be able to say alcoholic without it like bringing up so many negative connotations that I think comes with that word. So I say I'm an alcoholic sober, you know, almost 4 years, just so people understand that like, I'm not a drinking alcoholic.
Sure.
I'm sober.
Did you listen to that Dax Shepard podcast where he admitted to falling off the wagon, so to speak, I guess?
Yeah.
That was really interesting, because I really enjoy his podcasts. They're always interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard, you know, but again, you know, I feel for him. But again, like, you just go, I'm so glad he talked about it, because it's so fragile. And it's to talk, have that kind of platform and be honest about your struggle, or, you know, something that you, that other people are dealing with. Like, just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean these things can't affect you or impact you. And I just think that's the kind of message I want to keep sharing with people, is that, and that's why I talk to people who have a platform, because like a hockey player, an author, a TV star, like, it doesn't matter. We can all have an addiction problem.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now, at what point then did you wake up and you said, okay, well, now I want to start a podcast about it?
Well, definitely wasn't in the plan originally. You know, I never thought about having a podcast ever. It was not something I thought I had anything to say or I was capable of doing. And only, well, for a long time, it was because I wasn't talking openly about this. You know, close family and friends knew about my alcoholism, but not like, it wasn't like I was just like, everybody, like, I have an announcement to make, you know? So only last September, yeah, I'd been kind of following Bobby Ryan, because he had talked about openly about his struggle with alcohol, last February, when he, you know, left, to go to the players, the substance abuse program the NHL has. And he came back, had a great game, all this stuff. And he went up kind of talking about it, and he was emotional, but he was open about it. And then he won the Masterson trophy in September. And I just thought, like, he spoke about it again, about having, you know, all these people were so supportive of him this year and everything he'd went through. And I just thought, I love him. Like, I'm supporting him. All these other people are, like, young and old, and he's open about it. Why can't I be open about mine? And you just continue to, like, people don't hate him because of this. Like, no one's going to hate me if I talk about this. So I did on Twitter and just kind of posted something about it, because I'd written a letter to the editor and anonymously in January or February about Bobby Ryan to him, thanking him for his honesty, but it was anonymous. So I just put my name to it finally in September and went up doing an CBC Ottawa morning interview about it. And afterwards, I just thought, like, I, you know, strangers wrote to me. I'm a public servant, so they could find me. And they just said, you know, thank you so much for talking about this. And I just thought, what can I do to keep talking? Because it felt like I'd lifted 1,000 pounds off my shoulders. Because I had said to people before, I don't drink. You know, I used to be a big partier. So, like, it was really hard for me to, like, say, like, you know, speak honestly. And now I was. And I just thought, there's got to be something else I can do with this. And I kind of mulled it over for a few weeks. And I sketched stuff out and I wrote stuff out. And I just thought, there's got to be something I can do with this voice I've found. And I don't know how I came across a podcast, but I did. And I just designed a website. And I just thought, well, I love, you know, talking to people. And I think I could I found kind of a niche here of, like, sober celebrities. And if I can just convince them to talk to me, then maybe I have an idea here. And I just kind of started with that. And luckily someone from Below Deck gave me a chance on my first one. And that's how it just kind of went from there. So when I was thinking about that question earlier, I just thought, I don't remember the moment that I was like, a podcast is a good idea. Cause it must've been just a flash. And I think within 2 days I was up and running. Like, I had a website designed and, like, that's it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm very,
spontaneous,
impulsive.
Yeah. That's one way of looking at it. So you wake up and you say, okay, I'm going to start a podcast. You don't think twice about it, really, but were you listening to podcasts at the point that they're kind of in the back of your mind? Is that what kind of made
me
click? Maybe.
I mean, kind of, not, you know, not ones in this vein. I was listening to, like, you know, I would go for walks and I would listen to comedians podcasts and, like, Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Like, I would download things to go on a walk and listen to, but I wasn't listening to anything of this sort. So, you know, it was more of, like, a sheer entertainment value of, like, you know, you're out doing something, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it could have been part of it for sure. But it's certainly, like, I just thought, like, you know, I'm not going to get across anything just using, like, social media. Like, I feel like we need to have real conversations. And that's kind of where it went from there.
So now, who are you listening to, or what are you listening to?
Well, I still listen to, like, my regular ones. I listen to like Watch What Happens Live, Ask Eliza, Unqualified with Anna Faris. So those are, like, my kind of fun ones, like, when I go out for a walk. And then I have a few who are in the same sort of realm as me. And actually, I was on Life in Red with Ryan Forsyth. He's in Ottawa. And he interviewed me for his show. So that's one now I on my list, as well as Knocking Doors Down. I like those guys. They get some pretty big names on that one. But they have a similar kind of subject or sort of theme that they're going with. So they're talking about, like, overcoming things and whatnot. So they've had Caitlyn Jenner and Mike the Situation. So they get some pretty high profile people on there. So it's always interesting to see people kind of doing similar work that you are. I mean, again, I say work. This is
it is work. A hobby. It's a hobby that doesn't pay, but it's
a hobby that doesn't pay.
Sorry, what did you say the second one was called? There's the first one was Life in Red.
Life in Red, and then the other one is Knocking Doors Down. D-O-O-R-Z.
Sorry, I'm Googling these at the same time.
So Knocking Doors Down is it's two guys, but they it's sort of started through a race car driver. His name's slipping my mind right now, but yeah, they've got sort of a more of a, I think, a company behind them. But yeah, there's different levels of people, different styles, different topics. You know, Life in Red is a lot more they sort of does mental health in general and a few different subjects. But you know, oh, there's a
one, Life in Red.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to it yet though, and I'll be honest, like when it gets to these really heavy podcasts, I find them difficult to binge, same as you, like when I'm walking the dog or something, because they're just so in depth. And when I go for a walk or step outside, I'm trying to entertain myself and all of the heavy shit from my day behind me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden someone just goes and dumps all their life problems on you and you're like, Jesus Christ. Well, at least A, I'm not in this position, or B, those are interesting ideas, or, you know, but it's hard to listen to sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I say, it is work. It's, even though it's a hobby for you, it's more like now it's a life goal / mission for you to go out and get the word out there.
Which is, you know, I was thinking the other day, like I didn't have a hobby. Like this is a time filler now and something to do. I mean, first of all, I got a quarantine divorce, so I only have the kids half the time. So I have a lot of free time now. I have half my time free time. Also, the dog now takes up a lot of time, but a lot of time. And so this fills that time. But also, like, I never had a hobby. I don't, like, was thinking about it. I don't think I ever had a hobby before. So this, I mean, drinking was my hobby. So, like, now this is a great thing to be doing. You know, the time that goes in. That was something I wasn't aware of. The sheer amount of time that goes into each episode, like, is mind-boggling. You know, if you want to make a good episode, it's hours, you know, of work. I try to spread it out a little bit and procrastinate it here and there, but
just be glad you're not making YouTube videos. Those things also take up a lot of time.
No, someone actually, Ryan from Life and Ready, said, are you going to put start doing it on YouTube? I just thought, I can't, like, it's too much of an additional thing to have to consider doing. And no, like, it's enough just putting it one episode out, you know, through your platform.
Yeah. Well, with these, what I'll do is I'll take this video that you and I are making, and that will go on YouTube. Like, I'll slice and dice up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'll take the audio from that, export it into my editing program, and that becomes a podcast.
Right.
And then the unedited talk that we're having right now will go up on Patreon.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. No, there are no Patreons.
That was my next question.
Yeah. So this is definitely, it's out of pocket expense.
Yeah.
But, what can you do with it? So now, who was your dream guest then to have on the show?
Bobby Ryan.
Bobby Ryan. And sorry, and which one is he again? He's the one from the Knocking Down Doors?
No, Bobby Ryan is the Ottawa Senators player.
Oh, right.
So he was a Ottawa Senators player, and now he's with Detroit. I have a few avenues I've tried to with him. I mean, obviously it's also, he's busy playing hockey right now. So I haven't had a no. So I'm just going to keep an open mind that it will happen someday, because really I started this because of his, like, he inspired me to come forward and share my story. So, like, that's really, if I could just talk to him for 10 minutes, I don't need to, you know, have an hour long conversation. I just want to be able to sort of close that circle a bit. So yeah, for sure him. I mean, there's so many people who are sober, people who are well known who are sober, who I'd love to have on, but really him, because this is what, like, he's why it all started.
Well, come June after the Stanley Cup, he'll probably be free.
Yeah.
Well, July.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So again, I have faith it will happen. I haven't had a no.
And is he, like, that's the only guy in your dream list, or do you have like a bucket list of five or so, or is that?
No, well, I've got a lot of people, you know, there's people who are like, you know, I've got Canadians who I'd like, I've got sort of big, you know, sort of ones in the States who would be interesting. Jan Arden, I'd like to chat with her. You know, like Bradley Cooper, you know, there, you know, Ben Affleck, there's people who have struggled openly with sobriety who are really well known, but you know, I don't have a lot of hope for some of those, but you know, one day, I've got a few who I'm hoping will trickle in. You know, I just think like I look back and I look at my list now, you know, I've got a few number who have done and who are coming up, and it'll be close to 20. And I just think like, I started this in October and I've already spoken with 20 people, some, you know, of varying levels of notoriety. I just think like, I can't believe I've spoken with one of these people, let alone like 20 of them. It's wild. So I just count myself lucky every time someone agrees to it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I started this too, is just to talk to some really interesting people. So when you work your way up the list or down the list, you're going to find it just keeps getting added to, because everyone's going to suggest someone. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I like, there's an author here from my town who was a alcoholic. Well, is an alcoholic slash. Well, he was homeless for a while. Then he was heavy in the drugs. And then he went on and became a professor at the university where my wife works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he went and wrote a book, and now...
I feel like I know who that you might be talking about.
Jesse Thistle.
Yes, yes. Someone's recommended him to me, yeah.
In a heartbeat, I would talk to him.
Okay.
Fantastic guy. He's like, he and my wife know each other quite well. He gave us a few books. They're all signed and everything, and his audiobook is fantastic. If you want to download that and listen to it when you're walking the dog.
Yeah.
Because it's his voice telling these stories.
Lovely.
Oh, fantastic storyteller.
Okay. Oh, so good, I would to know.
Track him down if he could.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. It's everyone has a story, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it just all depends on their level of notoriety on how much reach they have.
Yeah. And you know, I certainly don't discriminate. Like, you know, people who, like, again, like I said, some people I hadn't heard of and so, like, have, you know, here and there have approached me. And I've said, you know, sure, like I look into their story and whatever. And you know, I don't look at like their followers. It's more of does this gonna work for what I wanna do, you know, for what the story I'm telling. So, you know, for example, like next week's episode is gonna be with Victoria Vanstone, who, you know, when I say that name, you probably don't know who that is, but when I looked her up, she has a blog called Drunk Mummy, Sober Mummy. And so I related to that in that's right away, like that sense of she chronicled her story from going from like, you know, the same kind of story I had into like motherhood and just, you don't want to do this anymore. So more of a sober, curious thing, less alcoholism related, more sober, curious. So I thought, you know, while she isn't a Hollywood who's who, she has a really story that like I can really relate to. And I think in that mummy drinks culture, that messaging that's put out there a lot, this will be a really good guest. So, you know, it's kind of varies of like who I talked to. Mary Walsh was like I totally fangirled over that one for sure.
Yeah, well, she'd be very interesting. Well, so would Jan Arden. Lovely. They'd both be very interesting people to talk to.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'd love to. I think I have hopes for Jan for sure.
Well, she seems approachable. I mean,
yeah.
Well, she blocked me on Twitter, but she still seems approachable.
Oh no.
She was really approachable at the start. And then I think I said something that's like, black.
And oh.
Oh, well, who knows?
Yeah.
It happens. And my next question, I guess, is how are you marketing this? Like if you're getting this many downloads and you're at 20 episodes, is that what you said roughly? Mm-hmm. How are you marketing this that it's getting such traction? Is it keywords, or do you think it's just the people that you're interviewing are also retweeting it, or?
It's definitely who I'm talking to. So, you know, I mean, I rely on them to promote it when I tweet it about the episode, and then they retweet it, however they promote it there, or they put it on their Instagram. I mean, if it was 10, you know, 10, 15 episodes of me talking to nobody, there would be, you know, five downloads, maybe most of them me, you know, like there wouldn't be this. It's because I, you know, it's because it's Theo Fleury. Like you see the amount of people who like everything he tweets out, Elizabeth Vargas, like these are big names. That's why they get like 300 downloads because they put it out to their side. And then those people are like, oh, my favorite host, Elizabeth Vargas, talked about this, like to some nobody, I'll go listen to it, you know? And so like they do. And I'm just so grateful for that because if I was relying on just me, I don't think I would have nearly as much as the thing. So it's really a Twitter. I have it on my site. I have an option for people to subscribe to let me know when they want a new, or when I've posted something new, like a new episode or a blog post. So I send that list of people, every time I put something up, I send that list and I have 50 people there and I don't know. I mean, I add in my parents when I send those things. So they're not on that list. Rude, but they're not on that list of people who subscribe. So I just like, it's mind blowing that like 50 people who I don't know have signed up to get like, find out when I post an app. Like, it's just like, that's amazing to me. Like, I can't believe one person's listening to this, let alone like the few hundred, you know, each episode. So it's just, it's wild. I just kind of want to like, I wish there was a way I could be like, everybody, how much I appreciate it. You know, like, it's just crazy. It's crazy. Cause I had no expectation when I started it, really.
Well, do you have an Instagram post for it at all? Or do you have an Instagram?
No, page? I don't. I mean, you know what? I have like addiction issues. And so it's already hard managing. Like I have two Twitters, like I have two Twitter profiles, like one for this and like a personal one. Mm-hmm. They interact anyway, but it's already like, I'm already creeping into like danger zone territory of like managing social media use. So I feel like I can't add another one.
Well, the secret to that is to put it in your calendar. So it's like Sunday morning from 8 to 9. That's my Instagram time. And then that's it. And I don't keep it on my phone. Like I'll keep it on the tablet, for example, and take it off the phone. Cause the phone is the killer. Like you're at line at
too easy.
That line at the store and you're like scrolling away.
That's what I was doing at lunch, waiting for my lunch. I just think back all the time how lucky I was to grow up without that, you know, like we had all our own problems, but like to not have like be videotaped doing everything, like everything wasn't documented. Like,
oh, thank God.
Oh.
Because that's the thing when you're saying when people how they get stigmatized as alcoholics and they say they're an alcoholic for life. It's like when you're 15 or 16 and you steal a car once, that doesn't mean that you're a car thief for the rest of your life. Even if you've gone and done your community service and you've spent your time doing whatever, the people 20 years down the road don't classify you as a car thief unless you're in that home, that small town where you stole it from.
Right.
Not that I'm implying I'm a car thief.
Yeah, is there a story you want to tell?
No, not going anywhere with that. I'm just saying that's different stigmatisms for different levels of interactions, I guess, with past history. So yeah, I'm glad that there was no cameras involved then because that would just be horrible. I have a couple questions here for you too. Sure. Maybe just to tie up your time. Going back to the alcoholism part, do you think that it's inherited or is that something that you find the influence of alcohol from someone in your life? So for example, did your parents drink or like what do you think drove you into that process, like in the drinking?
I think that addiction in general, like, you know, I think you have you're more prone to it if it's in your family. It is in my family. My parents were heavy drinkers. No one openly spoke about alcoholism. It was like in a lot of families, it's not talked about. There might be someone, but it's not spoken about. So I never, like many people, was never told, you don't have to drink. Like it's, you know, like some novel idea, right? Like you don't have to drink. It was never presented as an option. So for me, it was just always like what I was going to do. I don't think if I'd had someone say, hey, you know, you don't have to drink, you know, you don't have to drink alcohol, you don't have to live a life drinking alcohol, I probably still would have, because I think I have an addictive personality, and I think I was prone to it because it's in my DNA. I think I inherited something for sure. I don't know if you can not do it. Like, if I think you can probably, like, if you had more awareness or more, I don't know if it's self-control, whatnot, but I think I was always going to be like this. And now I have the opportunity to not be like this, which is hard to start out with, you know, if it's hard to avoid, it's easier to go through it, learn and go, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Oh, this is what I have. This is what I'm suffering from. Okay. Then to not ever have tried it or whatnot and be able to say, I'm not going to drink. I think you have to have a lot of upfront conversations from people who've dealt with it, who've lived with it, who are open and honest. That's what I'll do with my kids. That's what I didn't get, you know, from my side growing up. Would it have made a difference? I don't know.
And what point in your life do you think you really started noticing it? Was it high school or a college or university or your career?
I distinctly remember during university, like home for the summer and like having a garage sale with selling all my parents' stuff that they didn't want. They were okay with it. I wasn't doing it without them knowing. But having a garage sale, because I needed that money. I needed to make like 80 to 100 bucks to be able to go out that weekend. Like I had to have this. Like and people would be like, well, just don't go out. Like, just don't go to the bars. Like, that's not an option. Like, I have to do it. So I remember thinking like, you know, it's something clicked around then where it's like, you have to do this. Like you can't not drink. And when I started working after university in Ottawa, I was in a living like with a, you know, as you do, seven other people, your first job.
Sure.
And it's horrible. And I was like, well, this is great. Living freedom, like out of my parents' place, I can have four beers a night after work. Cause that's what you do. Right. And I was realizing that no one else in the house was like, well, why not? Like, why wouldn't you? You can now. We're like, we're all adults. You can come home from work and have a drink, which is what I'd always seen. And now I could do. And I just noticed like they didn't do it. So something, it was around there. It was like, I drink differently than people, but it wasn't a problem yet. It was a problem really when I had kids.
Yeah. So did you go to Carleton or University of Ottawa? Or?
I did. I went to Carleton. Yeah.
Okay. So you're like born and raised in Ottawa.
No, I grew up in Belleville.
Oh, Belleville. Well, so much.
Actually, nice. I was born in Toronto, Belleville, Ottawa. So I've made my way east.
Yeah. Well, little side story here. I remember when I was just starting university, you know, how you go on the tours. Mm-hmm. It's like you go check out the schools. I went to Guelph and I thought, oh, what a beautiful campus. And then I went to Carleton. Was it Carleton or University of Ottawa? I think it was Carleton. And I remember getting off the plane and thinking, holy shit, this is cold. But then I made the mistake of going to Lakehead up in Thunder Bay. And I had never been to, I didn't do the tour of Lakehead. And then all of a sudden it was February and it was minus 40 outside. And I'm thinking, shit, maybe I should have stuck with Ottawa. So it's only like minus 35 or.
Yeah, minus 30. Yeah.
But then I ended up living in Cornwall.
Oh.
Oh my God. And what a shithole that place was. Oh, Jesus Christ. The stink from the pulp and paper mill.
Yeah.
Just up the road. And then the nonstop. That's when I noticed that alcoholism, there's a difference. Like, obviously we have alcoholics, you know, everywhere. And small town where I'm from, Collingwood, there's like one guy who's always passed out on the street. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like back in the 50s and 60s when you had those TV shows and they picked him up and they put him in the jail and he lets himself out the next day after he sleeps it off.
Yeah.
Then you go to Toronto and you start seeing a different style of it. But then when you go to those towns like Cornwall, where there's nothing around and it's a real problem. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that it's, you know, not just one or five people, it's hundreds of people who all have problems and they're, it's, I'm not saying they're bordering on pests, like an animal that's out of control, mm-hmm. but they do lose control. And then all of a sudden that's when all the shit hits the fan, and it not only affects them.
It becomes it's society's problem, right? Like it becomes right. all of our issue. If like part of a population is suffering so much and just out, you know, without left to their own devices, and there's no help, you know, for that. You know, this week I did an episode with, just on Tuesday, I put out an episode with Guy Felicella, who is a harm reduction advocate in Vancouver. And he spent 20 years living in the downtown east side of Vancouver. It's mind blowing how someone survived that. And now he's an advocate for people who are living that, like the life he did, and for harm reduction, because it saved his life. You know, it's a fascinating, because and that's what I said, like there's a spectrum of like addiction and alcoholism and just people who want to just live a sober life. Like there's this wide sort of, there's, you know, the side who are, you know, like home, there's the homeless issue, there's mental health, there's all this stuff that goes into it. You know, and then you come to people like that's kind of what people get in their head, or the stereotypes of like what's in movies, or what like you said at the beginning, like the, you know, people like make jokes about what an alcoholic is. And that's what I just thought, like, I didn't think I was an alcoholic for a long time, because I didn't meet the description of like homeless, jobless, had my kids taken away, that sort of thing. But yet here I am an alcoholic. So how can we talk more openly about that word and show like it can just range from, you know, it really can be anyone.
And who are you hoping to reach with this podcast? Just your curiosity. Like, who's your target demographic? Because you trying to reach someone that is an alcoholic and you're hoping that they'll go sober? Or are you trying to just keep people that are on the straight and narrow on the straight and narrow?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't want to ever feel like I have to save someone or I'm capable of doing that. You know, I would never put that out there that like, that's my plan. You know, I you know, when I started, I kind of thought I want to reach the people who I was so scared of telling openly this to, right? Who aren't, as far as I know, alcoholics. And because I want to be able to say it openly, and I want people who aren't in my shoes to understand why it's difficult for people to talk about, what, you know, maybe get a better understanding of what someone who has an addiction looks like or could look like. So when I started it, it was really to be able to say like, hey, did you know that like I'm an alcoholic, and like this is what an alcoholic can look like, and I've been keeping a secret, and like I want to be able to tell, you know, anyone. It was more for like, it was selfish, like addicts are very selfish. It was selfish. Just, you know what? I just want to be able to say this without being judged. So it's the people who I would think would be judging me. And then when I started doing it, I would get feedback from people who were struggling and who you know, who've been sober for a long time, and they go, I love listening to it. You know, it reminds me of this, or your story is the same as mine, or whatever. So I just thought, well, that's fantastic too. Like I'm reaching everyone. So to the short answer to that question is anyone. It can be people who, it's kind of three types: people who want to hear about the addiction side and are, you know, want to hear about that, who are in the same boat, people who are just fans of the person who I'm talking to, and people who don't have an addiction, who might want to learn a little bit more about what addiction can mean or look like, or the person's story. So it's kind of like three different categories. It also winds up being everyone.
Well, yeah, I tell you, like the thing for me, like I said, after listening to Jesse's story and Theo's story, and they're very similar, is just, I enjoy the stories. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's almost like it's like a mini documentary. And that's what I find is really interesting, because you're going in there and you're pulling out the story from the person.
Yeah.
And it's a story of like trauma and abuse and addiction and recovery.
Yeah.
And that's what you hope it is. You hope there's recovery on that end. But obviously there could be relapses as well. But
exactly. I mean, it can, everyone's story has been so different so far. Like, you know, my first guest, he goes, which was Joao Franco from Below Deck. And he goes, I just want to preface by saying I'm not an alcoholic. I don't consider myself to be an alcoholic. He just thinks he has a problem with drinking, gray area, binge drinker, whatever. Okay, no problem. You know, Mia St. John relapsed after 30 years. You know, there's just, it's been so many different types of stories that I think like it can just, like anyone can find something in them. When I spoke with Ken Seeley from Intervention, we focused a lot more on his years after he stopped doing drugs, like of what his recovery looked like. And it was, I'd never talked about that in depth with someone of the after part, because there was so much work he did afterwards to go from like being a drug dealer to now like a very famous interventionist. So like just really, really interesting stories that like everyone has to tell.
Yeah, they are very interesting. That's why I enjoy listening to them. But like I said, I can't listen to them repeat, like on repeat or repeatedly, just because it's just so,
it's heavy.
So
crushing
sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be honest, when I listen to podcasts, I like to smoke a joint and walk my dog and, you know, we'll go on a 5 kilometer trek up and down the.
Well, there are some like lighter ones, you know, Victoria Vanstone, the drunk mummy, sober mummy. That was more of like just two friends casually chatting because we found we lived a very similar life. Amanda Brooke Perrin, who's a comic, she's coming soon. And that was like another really lighthearted, just funny one. So there's a few ones that are going to be a little different than others. Like, you know, some of them are heavy. Like I found Theo, it was, you know, he's got a very important story and it, you know, we had a long conversation, like it, but it was serious and it was as it needed to be. But there's other ones, you know, that's what's neat about this is that I get to have like a rapport with the people and some of them like we really bonded. So
yeah, well, it's a connection because you're opening up about your, you know, you're taking a wound and you're opening it, diving into them and just pulling out some of their bad past memories and examining them.
Yeah. And you know, we talk, it's not all bad. Like we can joke about like, you know, those nights where sometimes you think like, oh, I, you know how much I miss drinking and now it's patio season and all that stuff. And it's just like, yeah, but I don't really miss throwing up into my hand at the end of the night. So like,
purse.
Laugh about it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, why is my purse filled with puke?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Who is this beside me? You know, where am I? You know, why do I vomit in my hair? Like all these, you know, we can laugh about that kind of stuff now. Yeah, we talk about like the serious stuff, but you can find humor in some of it too. So it's not all doom and gloom. And that's what I kind of want people to see too, is like, you know, I'm happy and funny and I can still have fun. Like I am shocking, you know, you're sober, but you can still like have a sense of humor and like have a good time and, you know, all these things.
Well, yeah, but it's the best is when you kind of wake up in the morning after and someone's like, oh, you were so funny last night. And like, I don't even know where I was last night.
Yeah, where was I?
Who are you? Yeah. Because like, I was listening to this other podcast last night on my walk called The Dumb Found Dead. And it's about stories about people dying because of stupid reasons. And these guys keep talking about being drunk. Like they kept going on about Hennessy and all the stupid things they've done. And I'm like, man, I cannot believe that you're advocating alcohol equals good times to your listeners. So, and it took them 40 minutes just to get to the stories about how the guy died from alcohol poisoning or whatever. Oh,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, LOL.
I won't be interviewing these guys just because I couldn't relate with them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's my age or whatever it might be or life experiences, but.
Or just, you know, values, right? Like maybe it's just, that's just not of interest. If that's what they're going to be talking about, is something you just can't get on board with.
Well, it might've been fun at 30, you know, but it's not fun at 50.
Yeah.
So, because at 30, I got all these stories. Well, a lot of my stories involved alcohol when I was 30.
All of my stories did.
Yeah. And then I just hope that my kids now see me as a role model where I don't drink by choice. Mm-hmm. There's alcohol in the house, but I don't drink just because I hate the feeling the next day.
Exactly. I found at 30, it started changing, and like hangovers were 2 days long, and it was like, it was just something started to shift. But did that stop me? No. You know, like, but that was, it started to get much worse. And then I just couldn't imagine now, like with life being the way it is with kids, like I have a almost 7 and 9 year old. You have to be functional. Like I can't be lying in bed Saturday or Sunday morning or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday morning because I don't feel good. You know, like it's, life doesn't stop because you are hungover.
Yeah. Like your dog is, you know, if you're sitting there in the toilet because of whatever problem last night, your dog is like, well, I got to take a shit too. So, okay, listen, I think I have everything I need here. I'd like you to stay on just for a quick second here, but where can people find you?
So Twitter, my website is the Unashamed Alcohol, unashamedalcoholic.ca. And that is, you know, you can just Google that and you'll get there because I probably didn't say that right. But that's where everything is. So, you know, my story and any speaking or other podcasts I've done, that sort of thing. Plus all the episodes are there. But if you're just looking for episodes, you can find it on any platform. And then on Twitter, I am at @unashamedalc.
Okay, well, great. All right. Well, Becca, thanks very much for joining me. Just stay on for 1 minute after I hit end here. And I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was nice to meet you.
You too. Now, that was interesting. I really want to thank Becca for making the time to come on to the show with me today. You should go and listen to her podcast, leave her a 5-star review, and just like it, because it is a fantastic podcast with just some really in-depth and gripping and engaging stories. I really enjoy it. Now, I will be taking a small break for a month or so, but we'll be back soon with some interesting podcast. So thank you for listening. If you want to find more, go to theoddpod.com. Remember, this is an edited podcast. For the full unedited version, just go over to my Patreon account in the show notes before. And thank you for listening. Make sure you stand out in life. Be the Odd Pod.